Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glyn Martin, and our special guest today, Gareth Martin.
Yay, special guest.
Tomorrow will actually be our 100th episode. We've been doing this for a while. You kind of get good at something when you've done it 100 times, you hope.
I would guess.
Unless you're a serial killer, I guess, in which case that's probably not the best thing to say doing it 100 times.
100 times is a good...
it's a good number, I suppose. So, 100th episode tomorrow. This is round 9, Austrian Grand Prix. We had last week's, it was the Styrian Grand Prix, but we're here again. The difference that we've got this week is that the compounds in the tyres are a softer grade, so people like Ferrari and even Mercedes aren't overly happy in the sense on these softer compounds, but we'll see how it pans out for qualifying. So what we'll do is we'll run through Q1 first of all, and 20th Mazepin, 19th Schumacher, 18th we've got Latifi, Ocon unfortunately done in 17th and Kimi in 16th. Ocon in 17th. Since he's signed his contract, Gareth, it's as if he's checked out.
He's gone off the boil, absolutely.
Do you think it was a case of whoever made the decision to give him a 3-year contract is now thinking, that maybe wasn't the best idea?
There must be a get out of jail free card in there somewhere.
The contract will be in brackets, by the way, if you do crap, you will be sacked.
Toto's calling.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of the guys that are in Q1 are the usual suspects. Kimi's there just swanning about, doing his usual. Usually does better in the race. And yeah, that's Q1. Moving into Q2, Giovinazzi in 15th, and then we come to Alonso in 14th. Now, Alonso had an impaired lap right at the end of Q2. He wasn't very happy about it, Gareth.
He didn't look overly happy. Vettel looked incredibly apologetic. Either that or he was just waving at the car at him.
Alonso's hand gestures were distinctly Spanish. And Vettel was apologising for the entire German nation, it feels. It was like you'd cut someone up really badly on the motorway and you were like, that guy is going to murder me if I stop at the next set of lights. And Vettel was just like, sorry, big man, sorry, no, I'm sorry. And that's how it went on. But Alonso in 14th, he came around the last couple of bends and Vettel's just in the middle of the track. We know it's difficult at the end of this particular track's always busy with traffic, but surely Vettel should have been off the line or pulled into the side or something. He wasn't finishing a fast lap.
As a seasoned racer, he should never have been sitting on that bit of the track. Never been there.
In turn, the team should probably have let him know that Alonso was on a hot lap. That'll probably provide Vettel with, I would suspect, a 3-place grid drop and some points on his licence, which he's racked up quite a few on this season so far.
You do have to wonder, though, why he was saying it was dangerous.
Yeah,
the closure speed was crazy. He should never have been there.
I don't think, if Alonso had maybe completed that lap, I think he would have made it into the top 10.
Absolutely.
I don't think it was a case of, it doesn't matter, we're finished where we were. That was a top 10 spot, and I think that's why he was so annoyed about it. We'll wait and see. At least he's got maybe a car that's got to be good in the race, and the Alpines haven't really been setting the heather alight the past couple of races, especially Ocon back in 17th. This is the second week in a trot. He has been, I think, out in Q1. It's not good for them. They need to be performing better.
It's one of these things. They need to have the two cars performing, and currently they don't.
No, that's it. They have improved, but Alonso is the one that's carrying the torch for the team at the moment. Talking of people who are carrying the torch, it's definitely no Daniel Ricciardo. 13th again. He qualified 13th last week. He's there again. We'll be talking about where Norris finished second. We still can't work out where the deficit's coming. We spoke about yesterday saying that it was maybe on braking and stuff, and on such a short track, that must be about, a second difference in their lap times?
It looked like it by the end of it, but yeah, it looks like it'll probably be around about a second, if not more. But I think it's so difficult with Ricciardo and where he is at the moment. I mean, last week he mentioned the fact that he'd lost power.
Yeah,
and then I think through the week they'd mentioned he lost power for about 4 seconds and then was just stuck behind cars in a DRS train. But he made no impact at all last week.
No.
He's starting from the same position again as he finished last week.
And last week, two people in front of him went out. I mean, Gasly and Russell went out in front of him last week. So it was, although he finished in 13th again at the end of it, it was a net loss of 2 places. Yep. So... strange one, but 13th for Ricciardo, that's where he started last week. Maybe he can move forward. He's got the two Ferraris in front, and the Ferraris, they definitely don't like these softer tyres for this weekend. the Ferraris actually in Q2 tried to qualify through into Q3 on softs, and they were out-qualified by Russell on mediums.
Yep.
Do you think that's a case of the Ferraris are that bad, or Russell is driving the wheels off of the Williams? I mean, the Williams, has it improved that much?
A bit of both. I don't know if the Williams has improved. Well, I suppose that there has to be an improvement in the car, but I think Russell in himself is just driving the wheels off it.
We always talk about good drivers outperforming the car, and we've seen that over the years, that whoever is outperforming their car is the one that progresses and moves up to a top team.
Mercedes.
Yeah, probably. we'll discuss that at the end of contracts. But Leclerc and Sainz, both in the softs, outside the top 10. Now, Sainz may be promoted once Vettel's kicked back down three places, but the difference even for Sainz getting into the top 10 was only 6 thousandths a second.
Yeah.
That was the difference to Russell. But again, keep in mind that Russell was on the medium tyre versus the soft tyre. These particular problems that Ferrari have got has been an issue for the past 3-4 years.
The car's been in a decline, as you say, for 3 or 4 years. It's just never got any better.
And the front end of the Ferrari, that's probably where the problem lies.
There was a piece, I think it was on the show last week, where they were looking at the nose of the Ferrari. And it's the one thing that they didn't develop last year. So they put a lot of money, all their pennies, into developing the back of the car.
Yeah,
they've not developed the front. And it's the front that drives the air around about the car. And that's what's causing part of the problem.
I mean, because they had to fix the rear end because it was just chewing up its tyres. And they also had to fix their engine. And with engine freezes coming through, they had to spend all their pennies on that. Any tokens that they had as well. But likewise... I suppose the front of the nose is what 2017 spec it looks like. It doesn't look like it's moved forward much. It really doesn't. But it just goes to show that other places in the car have needed more work. And as we move into Q3 and the top 10, some great performances in here. Stroll in 10th. Obviously, these positions will maybe change. So Stroll probably start in 9th. Sainz in 10th once they've moved Vettel down three places. Russell, who qualified in 9th in Q3 on that set of softs, will probably move up to 8th. But he is starting on the mediums, which is great for
them. It's a good start.
They don't want to be starting on these soft tyres because they'll just chew through them so quick. It's the softest compound. And Russell in there in the top 10 on mediums. Between Russell and Norris, we'll talk about at the end, the two, they are drivers of the day.
Yeah.
But we'll come back to that and try and work out who's better out of the two, or whether it's a split decision. I think with Russell and the whole Mercedes thing, it's a done deal.
Looking at his performance, it has to be. I think Bottas definitely is looking at a Williams next year.
Yeah, because nobody else is. Maybe you could see Alfa Romeo if Giovinazzi doesn't perform. Maybe Kimi retires. But they've got so many young drivers coming through that Bottas would struggle even to get a place.
There's that possibility. As you see, there's a lot of young drivers that were there this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, they are. They were all showing. Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of good drivers coming up from F2.
There we go. Talking of good drivers that have come up from F2, we've got Tony Sunda, who... Okay, he didn't have the best race last weekend in the sense that he could have done better, but he was a wee bit hot-headed. I think he just needs to calm down. But I think that's just the Japanese driver in him. That seems to be the way these Japanese drivers go. It's 100% or not at all. It's not a bad thing, but we did see it with Takuma Sato and Kobe Krashi when he was racing for Toyota.
It's a lot of banzai moves. He just throws the car in. He's definitely got a talent.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fast.
But I think he's kind of fearless.
He's just too hot sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that probably comes with experience. Keeping in mind that Tony Sunda has only been in the motor racing sport for the same amount of time that Gasly's been in Formula One. So he's only been in the sport for 3 years and came straight up through the series. But he has shown a lot of potential. Top 10 qualifying. Tons. Points, race pace, just a good place for the AlphaTauri to start. My concern is that they may have issues and go backwards. But looking at the rest of the pack, I think they're in for a solid top 10 finish tomorrow. And Gasly in 6th, who got obviously nerfed by Charles Leclerc last week, who didn't get a penalty and then got voted the driver of the day and all that nonsense. Gasly starting in 6th, which is his favourite position. Gasly has qualified 6th, I think, 6 times this season so far. For that AlphaTauri to stay in position, again, the drivers behind them don't look like they're going to challenge them. If they get a good start off the line, they don't crash with each other, I think AlphaTauri are in for a good haul of points.
I think you're as you say, if you get through turn one and that drag up to turn three, he's got a good chance.
Gasly might not have an accident in him, but I think Yuki has. George Russell is going to try and be careful, but the Ferraris are going to be pushing them. So I think, if anything, a bump in there is more likely than anywhere else in the field. I don't know. I can feel it in my water. The AlphaTauris are just looking for trouble with each other.
I think this has been the case, though, for a lot of this now. We've seen the midfield has really closed up.
I think, actually, even off the line, that uphill, they're braking later because they can leave it later as they're going into the first bend. And then there's no space up there. There's loads of runoff in the left. They've got that sausage curb. But they take extra speed in there because they know they've got this big runoff area. They know that the stewards aren't going to penalise them at that first bend. So I think everybody takes their brain, sticks it under the seat for the first couple of bends because they know they can get away with more.
There's room.
And unfortunately, Yuki might be a bit of a liability in there. We'll wait and see. It also depends how the guys in front start, because we've also got Bottas in fifth, which, considering where the Mercs have been performing, fifth isn't great. Normally you'd expect Bottas in third, but Perez has got his act together, Norris has got his act together, and Bottas and Hamilton, fifth and fourth. Know where they want to be, but I honestly can't turn around and say that they made a mistake or they did something poor in qualifying. They're between, they're 3/10 off the pace of Max. And that's where the Merc has been all weekend. And even all the way through qualifying, they were pretty much 3/10 off of Max.
There was a shot just at the end of qualifying where you were looking at Hamilton sitting in his car with his helmet still on, and he does not look happy. He's sitting looking, thinking, Lando Norris?
Yeah.
On second?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it speaks volumes.
I mean, Bottas in fifth isn't a surprise.
No.
That's fair enough. But even at that, Bottas is just a sniff off of Hamilton's time anyway. So I would probably say, because Bottas is good in qualifying, that kind of performance level, that small amount between them is chopped and changed. Once you get into race pace, that's where Bottas falls back the way. And Bottas better have his act together, because I think the AlphaTauris could have him into the first bend. Lewis Hamilton probably won't let that happen, and he needs to be in the fight. But unfortunately, we'll speak about wingmen in a second. But in front of Lewis, we've got Sergio Perez. Now, this particular qualifying result for Red Bull is what they've been chasing all season. They've got a Red Bull that they can sacrifice and use as a blocker. Not that Perez maybe wants to do that, but they've got him in between Max, Lando, and then you've got the two Mercs behind them. So if they need anybody to hold anybody up and give Max the space he needs, even in the first couple of laps, Perez is there to do it.
Red Bull have been looking for somebody like Perez to perform like that for the past three years.
Yeah. Kvyat, Gasly and Albon. I don't think that those guys are bad drivers. I just think the car is difficult to drive and you need someone that's experienced enough to perform at the same or similar level. I mean, even at that, Sergio Perez is still a third or a second off of Max, but he's got a third in the grid. He's bet the two Mercs. You can't ask for anything more than that.
No, it's ideal.
And you're right, Perez in that position is put Red Bull in such a strong position for tomorrow's race and in the championship. I mean, we spoke about the run-up to this mid-season break. If Merc are going to actually do anything this season, they have to turn it around before the mid-season break. And Red Bull have got to make hay while the sun's shining. And this is the result that they need. They need Perez in that third position, or what would have been maybe second, depending on how Norris would have performed out with maybe a toe. But they need Perez in that position. It would have been a 1-2 off the line otherwise. I think they've went for this race could go either way, depending on what the weather does or how it goes, where Hamilton maybe on the front row, to this is Red Bull's race, this is Max's race, and I think it's locked in. Unless we get rain, Max has got this one in the bag. Perez probably will take second. I think Norris has got to go backwards, but we'll talk about that now. Norris, second on the grid, regardless of what happens in the race, because we know that particular McLaren is best of the rest. We talk about this, an A class and a B class, and the two Mercs and the two Red Bulls are the A class. We've seen it all season. Doesn't matter how good Lando is in that car, it's not a Red Bull and it's not a Merc.
He's qualifying In fact, his qualifying has continued to improve as the seasons went on.
Yeah,
he has come back in this season a different man. He finished last season as a boy.
Yeah,
who was playing games online and, you know, streaming all that stuff. He's come back this year. He is completely different, and he's outperforming a seasoned racer in Daniel.
Yeah, it's such a difference in him. Yeah, he has come back. You're right. He's more mature, even in races. He seems to, he keeps his head, his performance is metronomic. I think actually Lando Norris has become the driver that teams at Merck and Red Bull should actually be looking at to replace the Lewis Hamiltons and the Max Verstappens in the future. Lando signed that 3-year deal, and it will take him up to a point where Merck could be looking for another driver at 2023, 2024.
Yep.
And Lando Norris has put himself right in the shop window, but brilliant performance. He was only 48,000ths of a second off Verstappen. Now, Verstappen was going out, and some of the drivers behind him were trying to get toes on the track. And Max was like, you know what? I know I've got the fastest car. He was out there. He wasn't looking for a toe off of somebody else. But Lando, smart. They got him out right behind Max. And on the final lap, he was picking up some time from Max. That, fair enough. But I don't think Perez would have actually beat him. I think even the toe is maybe a tenth of a second. They a tenth and that, a half. Yeah. And I think Norris, even without the tour, would still have got it on second.
Yeah.
Which is a stunning performance, considering who he's up against. But it's his first front row start. Do you see him going backwards for there? Or do you think it can hold station? I don't think the race pace of the McLaren is up to the Merck.
No, I think last week kind of showed that as well, though. Yeah. They knew where the race was. They knew that fifth was what they were aiming for last week. And I think it's probably going to be the same this week, where he knows that, you know, fine, he's coming off the line in second. Is he going to go forward? Absolutely not. He's going to lose a few places, maybe over the first, you know, two or three laps. But the thing is, if they come in, you know, third, fourth, fifth, they're happy. They did mention, the one thing that he mentioned over the weekend was the fact that what they need as a team, for the team standing, is to have two drivers that are finishing in the points. And again, sorry, but that's where it comes back to Ricciardo is just not doing that team any good at the moment.
The thing is, Leclerc and Sainz, although they're not performing what we'd say great scoring points, is the two of them together, they're scoring consistent points close together.
Yeah.
And even if Lando finishes fifth and Sainz and Leclerc are seventh and eighth, Ferrari are still clawing back some of the points. It's maybe only 4 points per weekend. But that's why in France it was a great performance for McLaren, because the Ferraris were nowhere out of the points, and Daniel and Lando were up there and making points for the team, because that battle for third is between McLaren and Ferrari. And it's got to go the whole season.
Yeah.
Because unless Daniel Ricciardo gets his act together, it's two versus one. And it's no fate of Lando to expect to try and pull at these performances above and beyond to try and keep McLaren in that battle for third.
Well, we've seen that in the previous years with the likes of, you know, Verstappen against the two Mercs.
Yeah, yeah. You get double teamed, and unfortunately, yeah. Talking of Verstappen, he has been on top form the entire weekend. We saw it last week, but this weekend, with the tyres going to a softer compound, it seems to suit the Red Bulls even more. Max's performance, nothing short of world class.
I think, you know, you look at his performance this season. Again, he's someone else that's come back this season in a completely different way. He's approaching his racing different. You look at when he had the tire blowout in Baku. They interviewed him after that race, and he took it on the chin and he moved on for it. You know, he's come back the following week and just started over again. So, yeah, I think Max is, again, a completely different driver this year. But he doesn't seem to be phased.
We always talk about Max maybe having a... But we've seen it... Well, for the start of the season, it was a case of it's Red Bulls and Max's to lose, because going off last year's performance, they did kind of throw away a lot of results. And they have done maybe in the past with strategy and Max being Max. But that sometimes has got to do with them not being, like, first and getting clear. Because when Red Bull won it with Vettel, it was all about... He was first, he qualified first, and then he would clear by 30 seconds, and he wasn't getting caught up in any of the crap, and he wasn't getting rear-ended by people, and so on and so forth. And I think, actually, even from Spain to now, I would say Max Verstappen seems to have matured more in the last what has been four races, this will be the fifth race, than he had at the start of the season. And maybe it was a wake-up call from, he maybe realised that the first four races where he was still a bit shouty and argumentative about how did in Bahrain, how is he getting to cut the bend here? And he's been doing it for 29 laps. That kind of stuff. He's cut out after Spain and he went to Monaco. It's as if he's become a different driver to a certain extent.
His dad's had a word with him.
That's maybe what's been needed. Maybe, I mean, that
somebody's had a word.
He's screwed the nut, certainly. But for driver of the day out of the grid, personally, I can only say it's between Russell and Norris.
Got to be Norris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Russell has made it into the top 10 for the first time, which is a great result. But when Lando Norris has put that round in second and such a small margin off at first, I've got to agree with you. You've got to give it to Norris. Come on, Noza. Maybe points and podium tomorrow is a possibility. Nice. There could be breakdowns. I mean, let's be honest. Bottas is probably not going to be at Merck at the end of the season. So, Bottas, when you get off the line, you know, make sure Lewis and you didn't touch wheels, and Bottas is like...
And didn't let everybody go past you.
Lewis is going to be fighting out with Perez. You never know what's going to happen in there. And if Norris gets the opportunity, I think a podium, he got a podium here last year in what was another fantastic performance. But this year, he's just a different class. So go on, Norris. We mentioned their wingmen. And we've got Bottas and Perez in both positions. And I think this, we've been waiting for this to actually... Really, we saw it last week where Perez and Bottas were fighting it right to the end, and it seemed to be that we were only just watching a Hamilton and Max show. We had this added dimension where Bottas and Perez are starting to get together, and I think we'll see it again tomorrow, because I don't know how they're going to cover off the strategy tomorrow. I think they're going to struggle to do anything different. Perez is starting on the mediums this time instead of the softs last week. I don't know how it's going to play out between the two, but I think Bottas maybe just needs to accept he's not going to be at Merck at the end of the season and race for himself the rest of the season.
He's already tried that this season.
Well, yeah, it didn't work too well in Spain, did it? Other news, because we've got to talk about, well, we're talking about these guys at the front, we've got to talk about Hamilton's new contract, a two-year extension to his contract. Nice and early, we're not waiting to, well, past Christmas.
December.
Yeah, we was at testing, and he's like, yeah, I think we've got the contract for the year. But he's now hooked up for an extra 2 years in his contract to the end of 2023. We spoke about this before we came on the podcast, but do you think Hamilton is thinking another 2 years and that's me? Or do you think Hamilton at the end of 2023 he'll look and see what the market's doing, how the car's performing with Merck? Or do you see that's it, I'm away to do my fashion, I'm away to do my music, I'm away to do my X, Y, and Z? Do you see Hamilton retiring at the end of 2023?
I think there's a good chance. When we were talking earlier, the one thing that we're saying is that, you know, I think he's come into this year, so he'd signed that one-year deal thinking that they pretty much had, you know, World Driver Championship number 8 in the bag.
Yeah.
But the season's not gone quite as planned. So it's odd that he's now signed up a two-year contract that will possibly give him the opportunity to get that 8th.
Yeah.
Championship. You know, it's going to be many, many years before we've got another driver that hits that number.
Yeah, yeah.
If ever
with the rule changes and budget caps and aero caps and stuff, Liberty Media are making sure that I don't think these types of things can happen again. Although, I mean, when we spoke about Hamilton, we were talking about maybe I'll get to 10, but after this year, all bets are off.
I think so, because the changes for next year are obviously going to make the racing a lot closer. The cars are going to be able to follow a lot better. I think this runaway where you win a race with 15, 20 seconds on the guy behind you,
yeah,
I think that's going to be gone as of next year.
That's good for the sport.
It is, absolutely.
The other thing I would say is, do you think Hamilton has dictated who his partner is? Because that brings us back to Bottas and Russell. Do you think Hamilton said, I don't want that. I want Bottas because Bottas, I've got my back pocket here. Bottas is just right here and he's not going anywhere.
I would say yes. I think that as much as Hamilton likes to make it, he loves the competition and he doesn't mind people kind of threatening him on the track. And I think he would be sitting with his lawyer saying, I don't want any other driver in my team that threatens me. Bottas knows where he belongs and will race for me rather than against me.
Do you think Toto Wolff is obviously heavily invested as... because he owns a third of the Mercedes team. Do you think he's looking at going, right, okay, we've got Hamilton signed in, and Hamilton has said in the past, I don't care who I race against, but that might well be something that he doesn't want disclosed, because it wouldn't show him in a positive light to say, well, I want Bottas, you know, I don't want anybody else trying to take my position, and I won't be the number one driver. Do you think Toto Wolff's looking at that and saying, Bottas isn't really pulling his weight as the number two driver, and we really need to bring in someone? The future of Mercedes is Russell. The way they've managed him, they obviously got him at Williams, which this has been a bit of a tough time for him. But when Russell outperforms two Ferraris, a McLaren, the Renaults, Aston Martins, in a car that clearly is back of the field runner, Toto Wolff's got to be thinking, I need the two best guys, because Red Bull is bringing it. And next year, you have no idea who is going to be coming at you. Ferrari could be resurgent because they spent, I don't know, the past 4 years developing this car. Williams themselves may develop, but you don't want to leave them in Williams when you can bring them to Merck. We know that other teams are hedging everything on this, McLaren included, Alpine. Where would you move Russell? You've got to move him in there.
Russell's only place is into the Merck.
The Merck. When they did speak to Russell, Russell said, next year I will be driving a car that has a Mercedes engine regardless.
And a Mercedes badge on the front.
Well, he never said never, that. He didn't say that, but...
He did have a little wry grin.
Yes, yes. Derek says that the paperwork's already been signed.
Derek, but, I think you're right.
And Derek meets people in car parks and gets these envelopes and pictures and things. And
Derek, I think that's illegal.
No. It's stuff to do with Formula One.
All right, yeah.
Stuff. The thing is, if Hamilton leaves 2023, who would they replace him with? Let's say that Bottas at the door, we've got Russell in there, Ocon signed this contract to 2024 with Alpine, but I don't think Ocon's performances are anywhere near what they need to be or have ever been. He's had the odd good race, etc., etc. But if you look at the field, could you see Mercedes ever bringing in someone like Max Verstappen to the Mercedes family?
I wouldn't think so. But we spoke earlier, and I think Max, where he is at the moment, is incredibly happy. That team is built around about him. The car is pretty much built around about him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see him moving there. I don't think he would fit in with the kind of Merck way of doing things.
No.
That move for Russell could actually work. But would he go in there then as primarily as a wingman? So you come in and you are the number two driver. That's the only thing that I would think they would be able to do.
I think Russell would have the skill and the performance to... I mean, it might push Hamilton forward. But I think George Russell could come in and match Hamilton. I mean, the thing is, this season, we've seen quite a few drivers moving to new teams. And it's taken some of them. You look at Fernando Alonso, Daniel Ricciardo, even Sainz, Vettel. It's taken them a bit of time to get up to speed and bring these performances forward. We're at the ninth race, and now we're seeing some of it. Not everybody, but we're seeing some of it actually bearing fruits. And last season, they took him for a Williams and stuck him straight into that Merc with the wrong size shoes, with the proper seat, and a whole host of other things. What's this button do? What's that button do? How do I control this? And he had that race in the back, apart from obviously the screw up with the tyres and stuff. And even when he came up to Bottas was... It was past Bottas. And
yeah,
there was no answer for that. And I can only see Toto Wolff looking at these performances for George Russell and that Williams. It's a no-brainer. The other person that's doesn't so much spring to mind, but comes to mind, Sainz obviously has got this contract at Ferrari. Do you see Sainz moving maybe to Merck? I mean, we know that Sainz has actually shown himself as a good wingman to a certain extent to Leclerc, but I think he's actually starting to outperform, or Leclerc has maybe underestimated how good Sainz actually is becoming. Because even although they're maybe outside the top 10 here, but as teammate versus teammate, Sainz is not a number two driver at Ferrari.
No, absolutely not.
Somebody else that could go to Merck, or again, do you not see him as that sort of fit for Mercedes?
I don't know. The Mercedes team seems a bit of a weird... It's a weird team.
Maybe it's because we've only seen, really, Rosberg, Bottas. We did have Michael Schumacher in there way back when they started, but
yeah,
it's become the Lewis Hamilton team.
Mm-hmm.
Rosberg was there, and there was... I don't think they enjoyed that anger and disparity between the two sides of the garage. They want to work as a team together. And what you said about Bottas and Hamilton deciding who drives with them, keeping that synergy would be essential. Maybe, yep, keep Bottas. But I think as a team, they're still looking forward, and I think that's why Russell will come in. Looking at the grid, I struggle to see anybody else. Lando Norris is probably the one person that I would say, if Merck could get Lando Norris when Hamilton leaves and they have Norris and Russell,
that would be a good team.
Yeah.
If they've still got the car they've got.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's part of the thing this season. Why we're actually seeing, I spoke to Derek yesterday, and your thoughts will be welcome on this. Do you think Merck is giving this season up to Red Bull to confirm a good start for 2022? Do you think Red Bull is sacrificing the 22 car to get this world championship?
There's been chat about the fact that Merck were kind of sitting back and letting this one go. They interviewed Toto this morning, I think it was, and they're talking about, you know, they've made changes to the floor of the car, they're trying to affect the way that the rake of the car works and all the rest of it. So it seems quite strange that all of a sudden, from last week to this week, they've gone from not developing the car to we're kind of developing it.
Maybe that's something to do with Lewis Hamilton's contract.
It could extension, possibly, yeah.
Whereas Lewis is like, so we're doing nothing this year, and they're like, tell you what, Lewis, we'll commit some, and we'll try and... Because, let's be honest, Merck is always stronger after the mid-season break. So we've got the three races coming up. We've got, obviously, Austria tomorrow. We've got the UK at Silverstone with the sprint races. Then we've got Hungary. And I think, actually, over these three races, because what Merck need to do is just keep within the points range, but they need Bottas and Hamilton to be finishing second and third, and if Max and Sergio finish first and fourth, it's only a 3 or 4 point drop in the Constructors' Championship. If they can keep that gap small enough, when we come at the other end, for round 12 onwards, which is still another 11 races, if they can get something worked, I think they will actually provide more of a challenge, but it's not stitched up, but Red Bull are looking so strong this weekend. It's hard to... But then we see the exact same thing after Spain. Merck looked like they had it in the back pocket then.
You know, we're not even halfway through the season yet. And I think when you look at what's happening, we've got a long, long way to go. Yeah, there's teams that look like they've got it nailed. There's other ones that are kind of coming up at the back. It's a long, long season. A lot can change.
Yeah, very much so. The race tomorrow is at 2 p.m. British summer time. As we said, possibly some rain, maybe some showers. I don't know. We talked up last week's race is hopefully going to be good. And it felt after qualifying last week that it was going to be a good race. And the positions in the grid suggested that. This week's grid is actually more detrimental for the Mercedes. But it does open up maybe some strategy options. And Lando's in the mix there. But it looks so strong for Red Bull. I really hope it's not a copycat paste of last week. And we're just watching the teams manage the performance, the kind of gain on the team in front, etc. I don't know how it's going to play out. Having rain is the big equaliser, and I think Lando Norris and Hamilton want rain because Lewis knows he can't beat Max in the dry at this moment in time. That 30 a second a lap is just, it's crippling them. Lando Norris in wet conditions, I think he's a good wet racer.
Yep.
But Lewis, I think, on wet tyres, will think he's the misery Max.
It could be, listen, do you know, if it rains, it could actually add a bit of spice to what could be a copy of last week's race.
Yeah.
I think the fact that the two Mercs are further back might add something to it. But again, do you know, I want to see people passing on the track.
Yeah, strategy is just, it's crap race strategy. I hate it.
And that's what we've fallen into. And I think you see most of the stuff that's happened so far this year has all been down to people gaining places because of undercuts and overcuts and, you know,
yeah.
This is motor racing. They should be passing each other on the track, and that's the important part. We need to get away from that, and hopefully next year with these new cars and new spec coming out, we're going to see a lot of that happening. So, yeah, fingers crossed for that.
Yeah, toes as well. Right, well, that's it, folks. There's not much else to say except it's goodbye for me.
And apparently it's goodbye from Derek.
We'll catch you tomorrow, folks. Have a good evening, and it'll be our 100th episode tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. This has been a Beautycat production for DNF1.